So glad you could join us on a Sunday night here. It is Gridiron Wrap 760 WJR. A little later than normal, but Bill, they're doing us a favor. They're giving us like 20 minutes to just go on a roll right here since we started late. So I think you and I can do that. We thank our producer tonight, Parker, for kindly hooking us up with that. How are you, my friend?
I'm good, my friend. And another unpredictable day of football, huh?
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
A couple going on right now that I want to talk to you about to be sure. You know, we'll wait for them to go finals. Always love to let people know what is going on right now, though. But Ravens looking to close out the Cardinals. They're up 24-15. Arguably the shocker of the day, the Broncos. It's not just that they're winning, Bill. It's the way they're winning. They're up 21-9. On the Chiefs with about 6.5 to go. Certainly a lot of time for Patrick Mahomes left. How about the Bengals? They're doing it again. They are doing it again, Bill. They look outstanding. The offense looks unstoppable right now. Up 31-17 on the Niners in Frisco with only 2 minutes to go in that one.
Yeah, and I'll tell you another game that I was able to watch the end of, and it just – we've talked about this team, especially this coach, the Seahawks, Pete Carroll, you know, and Geno Smith, you know, the resurrected Geno Smith. You know, they come back and score a touchdown with less than a minute to go to beat the Browns, a very good football team. Cleveland's certainly demonstrated, you know, one of the best defenses in the league. And I'm going to tell you, the scene at the end of that game, Deshaun Watson didn't play, and it's PJ Walker, I think, is a quarterback for the Browns. And just the emotion that he showed losing that game, I mean, it would make sports the ultimate reality show, right? I mean, these are grown men, and that guy, he threw an interception that hit off a helmet and bounced up in the air, you know, one of those inexplicable plays to set up the Seahawks winning drive. And, you know, when people talk about pro athletes making a lot of money, but don't ever say they don't care, because you don't put yourself through, especially football, hockey, you know, those sports, all the sports, really, what they put themselves through. And just to see the emotion that they still have is I mean, it gets you, and it shows how much it means to each of these guys. And you know, yeah, it's a game, but it does matter who wins or who loses.
No doubt about that, Bill. Of course, we are excited. The Lions are in action tomorrow night, Monday Night Football, returning to Ford Field. And it's not just any Monday night game. A mutual friend of ours, I mean, one of the legends, and I'm not just talking about as a football player, I'm talking about a human being, Lomas Brown, going to be recognized going into the Pride of the Lions. Speaking of Lomas Brown, you're going to have a chance to chat with him and see him tomorrow night. We are doing our show. Bill, hopefully you can make it down. We'd love to see you out there. We're going to be at Buddy's right there on the edge of Grand Circus Park, just a few blocks away from Ford Field. We're broadcasting Sports Wrap live from 6 to 7. And then, of course, the sports book with Steve Courtney and Jamie Edmonds will be there from 7 to 8. And then, of course, Monday Night Football. But, Bill, I'm sure you are just as happy as anybody that the big fella is going into the Pride of the Lions.
I love the guy. I mean, we came to Detroit the same year. And I've told this story. I'll never forget. My first day of work officially with the Lions was the draft day in 85. And, you know, I don't know anybody. I'm just trying to, you know, keep away from things. But in the draft room, it was as close to a slam dunk as I recall that there could have been, that we were going to draft one of two defensive players, Chris Dolman or Dwayne Bickett. Linebacker Dolman was a hybrid type player out of Pitt, tremendous player, you know, had a phenomenal pro career with the Vikings primarily. and then a trade happened and this happened, then all of a sudden Bickett goes to the Colts, Dolman goes to the Vikings right before our pick. And what are we going to do? Well, sometimes things work out, don't they? And we took Lomas, and no one expected that. I'm not really sure that we scouted him that much, believe it or not. It was a different world back then, obviously, when it came to scouting and knowing about players, unlike it is today. But what a tremendous, tremendous person, let alone player, and one of the absolute highlights of my career. And I told you the story how disappointed I was, not to mention every Lion fan, not to mention all of his teammates, when we didn't re-sign him after 95. And I won't mention names, but I remember inquiring about the rumor that we weren't going to re-sign him. And I was told by someone in upper management, oh, he's done. He won't play anymore. Oh. You know, he's done. His career's over. He only played 7 more years.
Right.
Made Pro Bowls, went to 2 Super Bowls. But the moment that I'll remember, I worked the Super Bowl between the Giants and the Ravens in Tampa. And Lomas was with the Giants. And I found a way to make sure I could position myself right inside the field tunnel where the Giants would come off the field before the introductions, about a half hour before kickoff. And at that moment, when I saw him, it was like he was the only person in the stadium, because we just, you know, our eyes met and had the biggest hug, and I had tears in my eyes. I was so happy for him, and you know, upset with us because we let him go, but here he's in a Super Bowl. And then years later, he obviously won a Super Bowl as a member of the Buccaneers. And I've told this story as well, that when we hired Rod Marinelli, who was a D-line assistant head coach at Tampa for that Super Bowl team, and it was in one of our very first conversations, and somehow we got on Lomas. And it was like I pushed a button on Rod, because he couldn't wait to tell me. He said, let me tell you something. We don't win that Super Bowl. We don't go to that Super Bowl if Lomas Brown wasn't on our team. He taught our players how to be professionals, how to practice, how to prepare. He gave our defensive line the best looks all year, every day of practice. And I'm getting chills right now thinking about it. But what an ultimate compliment, you know, that any player could get. But in coming from Rod Marinelli, you knew it was real. And he's done so well since football. But, I mean, find me a person that has anything bad to say about Lomas, and I'll sell you the Brooklyn Bridge, because there ain't anyone.
Nope.
No. And you know that, Sean. I mean, and the way he's treated everybody, the media, the fans. And I'm so happy, you know, that he's with you at JR. It's just wonderful. And so deserving of this honor. I mean, no one deserves it more. And then, you know, a month from now, he's going to be riding down Woodward.
Yeah. How great is that?
Yul Brynner as the Grand Marshal, in Tony Miles, the parade guru. Tony, what a great decision to select Lomas and Yul, for that matter, to be the honorary, you know, Grand Marshals of the parade. It's just, I mean, no one deserves it more than Lomas. And you know what? No one has more humility, and you know, he's not gonna, it won't go to his head. It'll give him a chance just to meet more people and thank more people, and that's what he'll do.
Isn't it awesome? And I told him, and it was funny, you know, because he told me, growing up, of course, like every other kid, Bill, he watched the Lions on Thanksgiving Day. Yeah. And we all know how near and dear that is to our heart. But, you know, he didn't find out until he came here. And I'm sure you found this out as well, Bill. The parade is part of our DNA. It just is. If you grew up here, That's how you grew up. You know, on Thanksgiving morning, there was always on one channel, there was like kind of the national coverage, and they'd show a little bit of this parade and a little bit of that parade. On the other channel, there was always Macy's Thanksgiving Day parade. Mm-hmm. And you knew on one channel, it was always the Detroit parade. And yeah. My brothers and I, my entire family, all my friends, that's what you did. You sat in front of the TV. If you weren't going down there, you sat in front of the TV. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, that led right into, almost yeah. right into the Lions game. So that's what he told me. He said, I had no idea how big of right. a thing this was. And I said, you're absolutely right, Lo. And of course, Lo being the humble guy that he is, yeah. you know, I tried to downplay it and everything, but I'll echo your say. I couldn't be happier for the guy. Just yeah. a wonderful guy in the business, outside the business, just a mm-hmm. Hall of Famer as a human being.
No question. And what a compliment that is, Sean. He is a Hall of Famer in the world of humanity. And that's the greatest compliment. That's the greatest compliment we can give a guy like that. But what a day that's going to be for him. You know, Thanksgiving Day game brings back so many memories for all Lion players. The parade, I mean, how fortunate is our city, are the people that grew up here, to have arguably two of the greatest traditions in our country over the last, you know, almost 100 years. And they're both celebrated on arguably, I think if we did a poll, Thanksgiving would easily be the most favorite holiday of the year.
Easy.
Because of what it represents. Easy. To give thanks and to hopefully help those less fortunate. And you see all those acts of kindness throughout the month and week leading up to Thanksgiving. And then, you know, when it comes to Lomas, the Thanksgiving that I'm sure most Lion fans will never forget is the one in 91 when he, you know, had the speech before the game, his wishes to Mike Utley. And I mean, that will forever go down in Lions lore and Thanksgiving lore, if you will. And he did that so well. And Mike was watching from his hospital bed. And I mean, it just is something no one that watched it, saw it, was at the Silverdome that day will ever forget. And who was leading the charge? It was Lomas.
Yep. No doubt about that. I know that Mike Utley was in town. This is also alumni weekend, Bill. So many of the guys came into town.
Yeah.
I think it's awesome that so many of them are going to have the opportunity to mm-hmm. stick around and share this moment with Lomas. So it is definitely going to be a special night at Fort Field. Yeah. Did we mention there's a football game as yeah. well?
And you know, I figured it might come up, Sean. And as you know, when you and Lomas are on the radio, I'm listening. And I was listening last week and someone brought up about the Monday night game may have lost a little luster, you know, compared to when Lomas was in the league. And I don't disagree with that. I think, you know, Sunday night football has become the number one ratings, you know, guru
yep.
in the NFL land. And Monday night still has, and I think Lomas actually made a great point about the announcers being different and trying different things, from comedians to Kornheiser. I mean, there was a trying to find your way there for a while. But I'll tell you this. You talk about memories and you talk about how big Monday Night Football was back in the 80s and the 90s. There was nothing bigger.
No.
In any professional sports, short of the playoffs, or the championships, the Monday Night Football. And I will remember when we played the Raiders, that was the Barry and Bo show, right? 1990. And it was as electric an atmosphere as I could ever remember at the Silverdome. It was up there with the Dallas playoff game, with the Chicago Thanksgiving game. It was just with the Jets game at the end of the 97 season when winner stay, loser go home, the Reggie Brown game, if you will.
Yep.
When Barry went over 2000. But I was in the tunnel helping because the timing had to be right for Monday night. And I was helping with the pregame introductions or whatever it was. And even though it was on the old Silverdome scoreboard, it wasn't digital. I'll tell you that. But it still worked. And they showed the Hank Williams Jr. Are you ready for some football? Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
And the place went crazy. And I'm in that tunnel before the game, and the Raiders walk out, and I just found myself standing next to Howie Long, who I, you know, in later years would become friends with, you know, him being in the broadcast world. And I'm like, this is the largest band I've ever seen in my life. And the Raiders still had that mystique.
Yeah.
They still had it big time. They went to the AFC championship game that year against Buffalo, or the following year. They were good. And that was just one of those nights you'll never forget. And Monday Night Football was at the apex back then. And what a game we delivered to the country. I mean, we still, you know, probably could have, should have, would have won that if it wasn't for that, you know, replay that wasn't properly called, as we remember. George Jamison saved a potential fumble from going out of bounds. We recovered it in the fourth quarter, and they ruled it had gone already out of bounds. And it was inexplicable. And then I remember, I'll tell you, if we have time, we have time before.
Oh, yeah. Break. Yeah.
So, you know, we're just all aghast because we're convinced that the ball, George got it back in bounds before it hit out of bounds. So about 45 seconds, two or three plays later, ABC shows another replay. And Al Michaels goes on the air and says, now we're getting word that if the NFL had this replay when the play was reviewed, they would have changed the call. And I'm looking at it and I'm listening to the conversation through headsets, and I'm like, they did have that replay. So I went back and looked, and sure enough, that was one of the replays that they used in the sequence. So somebody might have called ABC, or it was ABC, I think, and whispered to Al, they had the replay. Okay. And then it created a little interesting dialogue, needless to say. But 35-31, I think, was the final of that game. And that set a record for most points scored in the first quarter of a Monday night game. I think we were up 21-14. And that's when Bo, after the game, said when he grows up, he wants to be like Barry. Yeah. I think we all did.
Yeah, isn't that we owe him. I was telling Lomas the year before you guys got here, I remember plain as day, I was in ninth grade, and we had a stinker on a Monday night against the Raiders. I remember plain as day. Yeah. And Bill, those were the days, and I know I've told you this before, Monday night football used to start at 9 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
And I'm 14 years old at the time. And my dad would say, you got to go to bed after Cosell's highlights. You got to go to bed. Bill, I can't tell you how many times I would turn the TV volume down, leave the TV on, put a towel underneath my door, and stay up and watch the Monday night game. That was my, until I eventually got caught. But that was one of those games, Bill, where honestly, I stayed up and watched that game, and the Raiders, you know, they dominated that night. I think it was 24-3 or whatever the heck it was. Mm-hmm. But we owe them. We owe them. And the Lions certainly want to get what happened last week in Baltimore. They want to get that taste out of their mouth as well tomorrow. Make no mistake about that.
No question. And what a great opportunity in front of the country and fans that saw that score and the dominance of that game, wondering, okay, what are these Lions? Well, tomorrow night's a chance to show the country what the team truly is.
No doubt about that. All right, we are up against a break. Want to remind you, come out and join us tomorrow. We'll be at Buddy's downtown from 6 to 7. We'll have Sports Wrap live out there. Of course, the sports book out there as well with Steve Courtney and Jamie Edmonds. But more of Gridiron Wrap coming up next year on a Sunday night. So glad you could join us wherever you may be. 760 WJR. Glad you could join us on a Sunday night. The Cardinals won't go away. They're running out of time. It's 31-24 with about 25 seconds remaining. Matt Prater just hit a field goal. Yes, indeed, as Parker points out, the Broncos knock off the Chiefs 24-9. First win against them since 2015. Bill, that's insane when you think about it.
I would have never guessed that. And the thing that you worry – or not worry about, but there's the reality of that. Obviously, it's taken a while for Denver to get its feet underneath itself with Sean Payton as the head coach. And, you know, we've often talked about it's not who you play when the schedule comes out. It's when you play them. So Denver's on the line schedule later in the year. So, you know, this certainly suggests that they're starting to adapt to Sean Payton's coaching. And so far, I mean, certainly today as an example, it's starting to work.
You know, Bill, it's interesting. It's the National Football League, and you expect the unexpected. You and I have talked about that so much. I would be remiss if I didn't mention congratulations to the Carolina Panthers. And they beat a pretty good team as well. Carolina, tough start. The last team without a win. They got themselves a win today. So congratulations to the Panthers for that.
You are so right, Sean. And if there was one game, because I've seen – Houston, I've worked a number of their games this year, and C.J. Stroud, and I had at least one Carolina game that I recall. I thought for sure Houston would have won that game, and I guess it was Bryce Young that you know put together a last play. They won on a field goal on the last play, a last second drive to get it done. So kudos to him. And you just like you said, you just never know. You just never know.
We hope our old buddy Matthew Stafford is okay. Look, I'll tell you point blank, that's a guy that I'm going to root for, except when he's playing us. I'm going to root for Matthew Stafford every time he takes the field. He went off with an injury today. Bill, all I heard was Sean McVay said after the game, it doesn't look good. I'm not going to pretend that I have any other information. Maybe you've heard something, but when a coach says something like that, it usually means it's not looking good.
Yeah, and it's on the throwing hand, and he's had that before. I mean, it's not unusual for quarterbacks when you're throwing in a pocket, and you know the Rams have had a hard time protecting this year. I don't think that's a revelation by any stretch to say that. And I think he heard it twice in today's game, and it's sad because I mean, I've watched Matthew play a number of games this year, and we talked about it, I think, last week on the show. When he had any time getting Cooper Kupp back and with the rookie, Puka, I mean, they were humming as a passing offense, and Matthew was playing far better than people realized, I think. In fact, I saw some national poll or national story last week that had him rated the fourth or fifth best quarterback at this point in the season because the author, whoever looked at all the factors. And, but even, you know, we're talking about Matthew, but to me, the one that is really just a shame is the former Spartan, Kirk Cousins.
No,
I mean, he was having his best year ever, I believe.
Yeah.
And he was rolling today and the Vikings were heading this way. And that was without JJ, the top receiver on their team. The rookie Addison was playing lights out. And from all accounts, it's probably an Achilles. And that's you know, just devastating. I mean, it shows how not only a game can turn on a dime, but a season can often do so. And the Vikings had to feel so good the way they were going. And, you know, today's win put him in the playoff hunt for sure. But without their quarterback, if that's the case, it's going to be really hard. And it'll be interesting to see what they do, you know, who they might, you know, try to. I don't think they're going to. I'm not even sure who the backup is in Minnesota and what their options might be.
It is, Bill, it is incredible how oftentimes in this league, and you've been a part of the league for many years, Injuries become contagious, the same kind of injury. And the Achilles seems to be one that I mean, it's running rampant. It's amazing how many times you hear about this injury now. Is this coincidence? Is this, you know, something? Lomas Brown thinks this was something that he just kind of spit out loud. Mm-hmm. He said, you know, maybe this is tied into guys not playing as much in the exhibition and taking pre-season. It easy. I mean, because it is really there's an inordinate amount of guys that have suddenly suffered this injury. It's incredibly strange.
I mean, you try to look at the variables, and teams do it every year. The league does it. The union will do it appropriately. So, and you try to look for those variables that change from year to year and the results of those seasons. And, you know, there has to be some impact compared to how the league was 10, 20 years ago. I mean, the NFL used to play 6 preseason games.
Yeah.
I mean, camp was 2 months long, and not saying it has to be that, but there has to be an impact because you're doing things differently. It's just human nature, and you're dealing with the human body. So there has to be an impact. I would trust Lomas's opinion. I mean, he knows better than any of us when it comes to that high level of athletic competition. So maybe it could be the one thing for Kurt's injury, Cousins' injury. It did happen on grass. It happened at Lambeau. Mm-hmm. So I know there's been a lot of buzz out there about turf versus grass. So it did happen on grass, but and I'm not sure, is his contract up after this year, Sean? I can't remember. I know he was rumored to be a potential trade, possibility, depending on how the Vikings did going into the trade deadline. But he was having his best year ever, and you just don't know.
It's unbelievable, Bill. By the way, I believe this is his last year with this contract. I'm looking it up right now.
Wow.
Just unbelievable because if you remember, there was some speculation that he was going to go to the Jets.
Yeah.
And then it was being reported that, he's not too interested in doing that. And as our buddy Parker just pointed out, a couple different guys that they can choose from. Do they go with a rookie? Do they go with a veteran? I don't know, but just a catastrophic injury. And Bill, you're absolutely right. I think the Vikings were trending up again. I mean, watch them the last few weeks, you're thinking to yourself, oh boy, it's not the Packers, but maybe they're going to put a little run into the Lions, you know?
Yeah, no question. So the reality is the reality. Injuries are inevitable. They're going to happen. Not if, but when. But, Lions fans out there are looking at this thinking, whoa, if the Vikings were going to be the threat, this certainly helps the Lions. I mean, you hate to say it, but it's true. The Packers look beyond average. The Bears are going to be interesting. I had their game last week with a rookie, and he was impressive. I tell you what, he showed some spunk and threw the ball well. I think he's 6'3". He's a big kid. He has pretty good pocket presence. And got to root for those D2 schools.
Amen to that.
John.
Amen
to that. That's where he played. How about the Warriors, huh?
I got in late last night, but it's always fun to go up to Marquette, and it's especially fun to come home from Marquette with a W. So
that ride was, home after winning up there has to be beautiful. Yeah, so it'll be interesting to watch him tonight. I think a lot of people thought the Vikings were ascending, and they had lost a couple games early. They easily could have won, like they won all those close games last year. But who knows? You just don't know. And the season's not even half over yet. So a lot of football left to be played.
Speaking of football left to be played tonight, don't forget Bears and Chargers coming up. And of course, Monday Night Football tomorrow night. We'd love to see you out at Buddy's. We are going to be broadcasting live from 6 to 7. Lomas Brown, yours truly, then Steve Courtney, Jamie Edmonds will be out for the sports book. Bill, hopefully you can pop in just to say hello. We'd love to see you out there, and I'm sure a lot of the fans would love to see you out there as well. We have one more segment left, and we're going to talk about our favorite high school football team.
There you go.
You know what? Hey, a banner year. Bill, you talk about it all the time. Hanging the cleats up for the last time is a difficult thing, but memories that will last a lifetime. So congratulations to the teams that are still playing. And you know what? Tip of the cap to the teams that maybe bowed out. Another fantastic high school season is continuing, and we'll talk about it when we come back here. It is Gridiron Wrap on a Sunday night. So glad you could join us. He's Bill Keenest. I'm Sean Belegian here on 760 WJR. So it is a Sunday night Gridiron Wrap here on 760 WJR. Bill, congratulations to your son and the Holly Broncos. Back-to-back playoff appearances. Didn't end the way that they wanted to, but a heck of an effort just the same for everybody involved.
It's so special to go through a season like Holly did and make it to the playoffs like so many other high schools and these young student athletes were fortunate enough to experience. And, you know, we played Avondale. They only lost one game all year, really good team from the OAA. And we were ahead at halftime. It should have been more. But we were ahead, and it almost reminded me of the Dallas playoff game after the 14th season where nothing went right in the second half. And we still had it within 2 points in the fourth quarter, 26-24, but made a few unforced errors, and you just can't do that against a good team. But I'll tell you what, Sean, what gets me every year when the season ends, if you have the good fortune, and if you don't, start going to these games, because to see the emotion these kids exhibit after, I mean, sadly, after the loss, because only a handful of teams don't lose their last game, obviously, when it comes to the playoffs. And the emotion, the tears, hugs, the embraces that last seemingly forever with parents, with teammates, with classmates. It's so real. It's so genuine. It just shows you how much these kids love each other. And that's not overstating it. I mean, they have spent more time as teammates. You think about it, from Pee Wee football, from Little League to middle school to high school, how many times they've been there in that locker room together, how many times they've walked to practice together and gone on bus rides to and from games. And you don't think it's going to end, but it does. It always does. And it was so heart-wrenching and heartwarming at the same time, because your guts just punched when you lose and you know it's over. But yet you look at these kids and you see how much it means to them. And like I said, how much they love each other and the families. And it's special. It is so, so special. And, you know, fortunate to have my son involved. And he was, you know, he was hiding them. I mean, he was fighting them back, too, because you just love the kids you coach. Yeah. You do. And they became they become part of you, and you hopefully become part of them. But it's, to me, I've said it so many times, it's the greatest classroom these kids will ever participate in. And, you know, it had to sting, had to hurt, but the memories they'll take with them will be from what was on display after that game on the field, just the friendships, the camaraderie, and not overstating it, but the love they developed and will have forever for each other.
You bring up such a great point, and I think something that sometimes people maybe don't take into consideration, Bill. This is something they've been doing for, in a lot of cases, over half their young lives. Mm-hmm. I mean, now think about that. Think over half your life doing something. And it's been, you know, such an everyday part of their existence. Mm-hmm. And especially now, you know, before, Bill, let's face it, when we were younger, a lot of times it really was from maybe late July until November, and then you'd get together for a couple of weeks. I mean, this is year-round stuff now. It really is. This is the level that we've come to. So A bond that will never be broken, though. They'll always be family.
Yeah, it really will, Sean. And each of those players arguably and legitimately spent more waking hours with their teammates than anybody, even their family. Okay. Because your classmates, you're at school with them, your teammates, your practice and the off season workouts, and you're friends with them, you're going to parties and dances and school events. It is such a unique reality and a bond. And I've just seen this thing play out so many times. I remember when Billy, I think, was in middle school and Oxford lost the playoff game. And there were three brothers from the Oxford community, the Gomez brothers. And actually, one of them played at Wayne State, was, a running back. They were tough, just, you know, really great high school football players. And at least one, maybe two, played into college. And the youngest brother was still on the Oxford team. And they lost the playoff game. I think it was at Lapeer East when Jake Long was playing, actually. Mm-hmm. And the two older brothers came in for the game. And I will never forget the scene. And I'm getting choked up because it's so real of watching those three brothers just bawling their eyes out, hugging each other, because it was the end of an era at Oxford High for the Gomez family. And that scene plays out all over the country at every high school. And it's so special. And that's why we love sports. And that's why we certainly love high school sports. So I'm not sure if Sean is able to pick it up, but you know, like I said, that scene will continue this Friday night, round two of the playoffs. And there's some great opportunities out there for the fans to participate in it, just to watch the uniqueness of it all. I don't think the weather will be as nice this Friday, but it'll still be great football.